A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possession." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. We really need not say much about this gospel. The message is quite clear, and perhaps any of our words might detract from it rather than reinforce it. And that message would simply be the words of Jesus: guard against all greed. Guard against all forms of greed. It was occasioned by a man who simply wanted to be assured of his inheritance. And Jesus thought, "I'm not here to arbitrate fights about inheritance." And he detected, obviously, in that man a sense of greed, even if perhaps that portion of the inheritance was due to him, he detected a sense of greed. And so Jesus goes on and says, though one may be rich, one's life does not consist in possession. And that leads him to tell the parable. We cannot emphasize too strongly this message. Few of us perhaps think of ourselves really as greedy people. Few nations think of themselves as greedy countries. The people living in the affluent countries of the world do not think of themselves as greedy, although those in the poor, impoverished countries of the world, when looking at them, notice their greed, the disproportionate amount of wealth that is available to them. And even within an affluent country, it becomes so apparent after a while, the few who really are the rich and the many who do not have that much. Even our way of speaking about the haves and the have-nots. One's life does not consist in possessions. One's life does not consist in what one has. I think particularly of a book I read in the past year by Eric Fromm, a Jewish psychoanalyst born in Germany but practicing in the United States. Influenced certainly by socialist and Marxist thought, but basically a psychoanalyst, and one who wrote a lot about contemporary culture, now deceased. But one of his books, not as well known as others, was entitled, with the question mark, "To Have or to Be?" And in some ways, we might say that is the question. It might seem too simplified But that is the question. To have or to be? To have more, and the more we have, the more we desire to have, because our identity is wrapped up with what we have. And if that's our identity, to enhance it, to secure it, whether we use the language or not, we are possessed by our possessions. What we have has us. But if the fundamental approach to life is not what I have, but who I am, to be, who I am becoming, in a way one could say a more contemplative way of being in the world, to have or to be. Who are we? My identity is not in what I have, but in the kind of person I am, the quality of my humanity, standing before God as God's child, someone who has turned his or her life over to the Holy Spirit, to have or to be. Guard against all forms of greed. Indeed, I don't think of myself basically as a greedy person. And I live in the context of religious life with the vow of evangelical poverty. Yet how easy it is for us also to acquire, to get into the acquisition mode, to look upon not just the possessions that I have, but perhaps the job, the ministry, the status, even in some ways, my ideas that I might cling to, how difficult it is to be open to another person's thought, or greed for knowledge, or even John of the Cross spoke at times about a kind of spiritual greed, a hunger in a greedy way for spiritual experiences. Guard against all forms of greed. Of course, we need to come back to the clear intent of the parable that Jesus told about the man who had a lot, a bountiful harvest. But instead of it being moved in the direction of generosity, it's like, how could I keep this or have more, build larger barns? And, of course, God warned him, as the psalmist does, you cannot take your wealth with you. We all die, and our wealth does not go with us. And thus, rich, rather, is the person who stores things up for God's sake, who stores up treasure not for himself, but remains rich in those things that pertain to God. Equally strong is this message in other Gospels. A counterpart of it in the Gospel of Matthew is the one line that we're so familiar with also, about a person cannot serve two masters. Either you love one and hate the other, or whatever. We cannot serve two masters, both God and mammon, or both God and wealth. And therefore, whether it's the country, whether it's the individual, whether it's a class of people, we need deeply to remind ourselves we cannot serve both God and wealth. And although socialist economic systems have not been as faithful as they could have been to the ideals that inspired them, we must also say that at the root of a capitalist way of viewing the world is the element of greed. In many ways, could capitalism function so well if it weren't for greed? Now, this is not to critique any form of economic system, but for us simply to be aware we cannot serve both God and money, as the Gospel of Matthew puts it, or here in our text today with Luke, guard against all greed.